Oh, it just finished. That's Kilimanjaro by Baby Shambles. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. How you doing, Joe?
I'm all right, thank you very much. Hello, listeners. Thanks for joining us. We're here for 2 hours on XFM, London's 104.9. In fact, not only London,
Where's that?
I don't know.
God, that's amazing, apparently.
Thanks.
It's very hot. It's good.
What I was trying to say was you can listen to it on the internet, or can you listen to it on digital telly?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So that means people all over the world are listening, specifically to us.
Mm. We've also got some really good music coming up this week. Katie Melua, Beverly Knight, Jamie Callum, Tom Jones, Jules Holland.
New Busted, New McFly, and also the new track from JoJo.
And Tunde.
And Baba Tunde.
Tunde.
Who's Tunde?
Have you not seen the advert for Tunde?
Your breakfast just came out of your mouth.
Did it? Well, that's because of Tunde, because I'm excited. He used to be in the Lighthouse Family.
Oh, I have seen the adverts for Tunde.
Tunde?
Yeah.
It's, the voiceover is, what's he called? You know, the guy from Classical FM.
Don't know.
Gambaccini.
Okay.
Tunde. I can't do a good Gambo.
Tunde, he's probably very good. Have you heard any Tunde?
Well, we're going to be playing some. Actually, no, we're not. Of course, that's a joke.
I saw JoJo on CD UK Hot Shots today. Is that what it's called?
Who?
Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Who's JoJo? Do you know JoJo? Listeners out there will know who JoJo is. She sang Leave, Get Out. She's 14. Mm. She's got a huge head and a tiny body. Do you know Bratz?
Yes.
Bratz are the dolls that, like, have the Pate van and stuff like that.
Horrible attitude dolls.
Yeah, they now outsell Barbie. JoJo looks like a Bratz.
Right.
She's fit, her body is tiny and her head is huge, and she's got enough tude for an... Tude?
Tude.
Yeah, tude.
Tude.
For an angry 98-year-old wino.
Wow.
Only she's 14. Anyway.
I'm going to look out for her. I was just going to tease a bit of the music. I'm very excited. We've got a couple of new sort of feature-type things. We've got sort of an 80s classic in the first hour and a 90s classic in the second.
Are those... What do we?
Yeah, we do.
Chosen by us?
Yeah.
Or is that my free play gone, then?
No, we still got your free play. Have you brought it in?
Yes.
Is it what you had last week?
Yes.
Okay, we won't say what it is, because it's a surprise. Very good, though. You know, as well as music, Talking Heads, Graham Coxon, Franz Ferdinand, The Strokes, Blur.
How did that happen, then, the 80s classic?
It's all coming up. I sat down with Andy Ashton this week.
Really?
Head of XFM, and...
Why wasn't I invited to that meeting?
Well, you can come next week.
Is it a weekly meeting?
Yeah, I didn't think you'd want to come, actually.
No one invited me.
Well, okay, I'm sorry, that was my
That's
fault.
That's very rude.
All right, do you want to come next week?
No, I want to come last week.
Okay. Would you really have come? In the afternoon,
I thought... I'd have known about it.
Okay, all right then. So, first tiff, we're only 5 minutes in.
It's not a tiff, it's just a business talk.
Well, you've got that face where you look serious, so you look a bit angry.
The business of running the show.
Okay.
Is as important to me as it is to you.
Oh, I didn't realise that. I thought you weren't that bothered about the playlist.
No. I'm not.
Look, I wish you were... See? He wants it both ways. On the one hand, he's not bothered, but he wants to give me some bad vibes for not inviting him to the meeting. That's basically what it is. As well as that, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. Joe, you were DJing this week at the Islington Academy.
Yes.
What sort of stuff did you play?
I did this thing called Guilty Pleasures at the Islington Bar Academy on Tuesday night, and I tried to play... Basically, the brief was Guilty Pleasures, tunes that you love, but... are kind of ashamed of. But you know, I forgot the cardinal rule of DJing.
Play good music.
Play music people recognise.
Oh.
Wouldn't you say that's the cardinal rule?
Well, every now and again. It's good to slip in a few educational choices.
Not at this. I'd gone much too deep.
What did you play?
I'd gone album tracks from 80s bands that I like.
Holy moly.
You know, King Size by Haircut 100.
That's a good song, though.
It is a good song, but people don't know it, so they just drift away to the bar.
Yeah.
So basically, I had to share my DJ set with Sean, who played sort of good tracks.
Yeah.
And then I slipped a couple in between. But it was all right. I tell you who was there, though. Terry Hall was there.
Oh, yeah.
What a lovely guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Have you heard that song he does with the Dub Pistols?
No.
That's very good. I think we certainly used to play that on XFM. I think it came out a while ago, but it's very good. That Dub Pistols album's well worth seeking out. Here's some music right now. We'll be back in just a second. This is the Zootons. Oh, that's brilliant. Always good to hear that one again. Although it wasn't exactly the one I was going to put on. We were going to have a bit of the Kings of Leon. This is a fantastic album, which I haven't got yet, but I'm very excited about getting. And this, of course, is The Bucket. Yeah, that's the Kings of Leon with The Bucket. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM.
Hi. I'm just saying hi to the listeners, Adam. Hi.
Yeah, but you crashed the end of my sentence.
Yeah, but it's cool. Ardura, you know. We sort of sometimes talk at the same time, sometimes at different times. It's
we finish
our verbal energy.
Yeah, we finish each other's sentences. Yeah. You know, when you read that phrase in magazines, you just think, what a banal observation to make about two people. They finish each other's sentences.
On a field.
Yeah. Oh, you did it again.
But I got it all wrong. It didn't make any sense. On a field.
Yeah.
So, I see. It's not true.
So listen, I thought I could tease a few things, not only coming up in the show, but coming up next week.
Right.
First of all, there's our bike. Do you want to talk about that?
That's this week.
Yeah.
We're going to give away a bike, listeners. A chopper, I believe it's called. You could win Adam and Joe's chopper.
Nice.
Is it a proper adult-sized chopper? It's not one of these tiny bikes that big guys in hoodies go around on. Because I'd like to give one of those away. You know, we should give away a bike designed for a three-year-old, but give it to somebody over 30.
So they can cycle around South London with it.
Yeah, thanks, Ash.
And look frightening.
Ash.
Saying what?
Ash.
Ash, what's that?
It's a drug.
Oh, Ash.
Yeah, Ash.
I thought you meant they're going around talking about the band.
You want smoke?
Have you heard that new single by Ash? It is wicked.
Ash Thingle. Yeah. Do you think that actually, this is a full-size bike, a full-size chopper.
And this is kind of tied into Ed Harcourt's single, Born in the 70s. We're going to be playing a live session that he did for XFM, so it won't be live, it will be recorded. But it was recorded for XFM.
Right. So, and a chopper, the distinguishing visual things about a chopper are it's got a sort of seat like the letter L, a padded seat, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right, with
so
a little backrest.
It's got a sort of back that you can lean your back on. And then it's got very extended handlebars, has it, that are like a bit like a drag racer, like, well, drag racer doesn't have handlebars, but, you know, it's sort of wide at the front.
Yeah. Well, don't they dip?
Do they dip? I just can't help feeling, and a grown listener of XFM is going to look like a bit of an idiot. On the chopper.
Man, we probably have a lot of young listeners as well who would dig it.
Well, maybe we should have an age cap.
And it, what's an age cap?
Don't know. It's a thing that limits the age of
people. Oh, I see.
Competition. I'm just frightened it's going to go to some awful Hoxton idiot.
I see what you mean.
Who's going to write? I want it to go to someone who can really appreciate a chopper.
That's a bit Hoxtist.
It is a bit Hoxtist, isn't it? It's an original chopper. They're kitsch.
But we're going to be giving it away for the person who wins the Crap Commentary Corner competition this week. And Joe, it's another quite hard one, isn't it?
It's a tricky one, yeah, in Crap Commentary Corner this week.
So that's your filter right there, you know. Anyone who gets your Crap Commentary is good enough to win the chopper, don't you reckon?
Yeah, if you're a film buff, stay tuned, because we've got a really tricky one coming up.
We've also got mummification, where listeners have to figure out what my mum's talking about. That's coming up quite shortly. And this week, here's my sort of rundown of exciting things you can buy this week or watch. Okay.
Right.
Elf. Very excited about that. Coming out on
that
Monday.
Yesterday.
Have you got that?
Yep, got Elf.
Where'd you get it? At the cinema store?
At a special shop.
Oh.
That sells things a little bit early.
You couldn't wait till Monday.
It closed down because we've talked about it. No, couldn't wait till Monday. I could talk more about the Elf DVD.
Yeah, go on then.
It's a good DVD. It's a double disc set. Therefore, they can charge you $19.99 for it.
Yeah.
But on the second disc, I expected it to be packed full of comedy extras.
Mm-hmm.
Little, you know, Will, what's he called? Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Scamping around, commentaries, funny docs, stuff like that. There's four docs about Christmas.
Okay.
And they're just about Christmas. There's one sort of called The Magic of Christmas.
Well, it is for children, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't buy a DVD to see a completely sort of unrelated, sentimental, sugary, saccharine documentary about Christmas.
Well, speaking as a parent, that's not a bad thing to have lying around.
Really?
Yeah, just to stick on every now and again. It's quite handy. I know it's frustrating for a grown-up Will Ferrell fan, and, you know, I speak as both the Ferrell fan and the parent, but so I'm going to be doubly happy, I feel.
You know what, maybe next week I'll bring in some audio samples from those documentaries.
Okay.
Because they're amazing. They're the kind of things that could only ever exist for a DVD.
Yeah.
Not good enough for telly, certainly nothing to do with the film. They're kind of thin, and I'll bring some clips in.
Okay, so check out Elf. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth a watch. It's good right the way through, but the first half hour is painfully funny, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's really good. Seinfeld DVD, that's out. That's the first three series, and I went out and bought some. We were supposed to have some to give away this week, but unfortunately we haven't been able to wangle that, which is a drag. But unable to wait even till today, I went out yesterday and bought volumes 1 to 3 and sat through quite a lot of the extras. Good extras. slightly over long documentary about how it all started, though, with very good interviews with Larry David, and Larry David, of course, star of Curb Your Enthusiasm and co-creator of Seinfeld with Jerry Seinfeld. But they were very funny, as you can imagine, and it's slightly too detailed, but still, manna from heaven for the Seinfeld fan. If you're not familiar with Seinfeld, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Watching 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps? It's time to switch to Seinfeld. Go out and buy that. And of course, on telly this week, The Mighty Boosh is getting its BBC Two airing. That started life on BBC Three, like many other successful comedies.
What day is that on?
That is Wednesday the 10th, and okay. It's 7 p.m. on BBC Two. And if
you recommend that, don't you, Ed?
Yeah, yeah. Have you not seen it?
I haven't seen it, no, because my digital box broke for that period of the year. It's come back to life now.
Yeah, that's it's a peach. It's really funny. It's a couple of guys called Noel Fielding and Julian Barrett, and it's sort of, I don't know, if you're going to be rubbish about it, I suppose you'd call it a slightly surreal comedy, not totally similar in spirit from stuff that Vic and Bob do, I suppose.
Is it like Green Wing?
No, I'm happy to say that it's nothing like Green Wing, although I am warming to Green Wing. Since they've toned down the crazy visuals.
It's good that you're warming to it, because they've just commissioned about 40 new series.
Yeah, I know. And they're now going to be 5 hours long each. But no, you should check out The Mighty Boosh. You've got to be a hard-hearted person indeed not to get something out of that. It's a peach.
Shall I tell you what else is out on Monday?
Go on, then.
The Live Aid box set.
Oh, nice.
Is anyone excited about that?
I am.
I'm excited about it, but I've also got reservations, because what I really want... I don't really care about the bands. Yeah. What I'd like to see is all the linking material. All the studio links, all the chaotic vision mixing, all the stuff around the bands.
I bet they'll include some of it.
Do you think? I hope so. I very much hope so.
We should talk more about that in a second, but first, harking back to those happy times, here's our 80s classic for this week. It's Talking Heads. Yeah, happy
Talking
days.
Talking Heads, and She Was. That's our 80s classic. One a week, thanks to Adam's special meeting.
Can we...
Which is very good... Man, I'm being positive. It's very good news. I think that's terrific
Joe,
news.
Joe, I'm sincerely sorry I didn't
that's
tell you
okay,
about the
you
meeting.
That's okay, you know. I'm passionate about this show.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about music.
It's a big
Does
passion.
Does that sound convincing?
It was a big passion argument.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, then.
Passionate about sleeping.
What have you got there?
Well, this week we've got copies of The Grudge. Have you heard of The Grudge?
No, is that like The Grinch?
It is a bit like The Grinch in that it's terrifying to watch, but it's intentionally terrifying. The Grudge is a Japanese horror movie, very famous. It's been remade with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and the American remake is coming out, I think, at the end of this week or maybe next week. And the American remake, which I've seen, is pretty good, but it's not as terrifying as the Japanese original.
And that's what you've got in your
that's
hands.
That's what we've got to give away. We've got 4 copies.
Ooh. Well, you could be winning one of those if you are the winner of this week's mummification competition.
I'm a mummy.
He was a bit feeble at the start, wasn't
it? I had to turn it off. Didn't check the levels on that one. So, basically, my ma... is, you know, a quite an old woman, and she gets a bit addled sometimes. And you have to basically guess what she's talking about. This week, she's talking about a TV show. I'm not going to say any more than that, because it's pretty easy. So stand by your phones. 0871-222-1049. And be prepared to negotiate a certain amount of switchboard fun there, but stick with it, because I think this competition is quite easy. 0871-222-1049, if you can figure out what my ma is going on about here.
Well, there's this girl who is really ugly looking and gross in many ways, and she shares a flat with this man. And she's convinced that she's absolutely lovely, and everybody's madly in love with her. And then the man is very funny. He prefers men to girls, so she's not going to get anywhere with him at all. And it just goes from one hilarious episode to another. It's great fun, and I'm so sad it isn't on any longer.
I'm a mummy.
Do you know what that is, Joe?
A man who likes men, not girls.
Prefers them. Prefers
on
them to girls.
Television.
I know. It blew my mum's mind.
In living rooms. It's disgusting.
But, so that's pretty easy. How are we doing there, Lila? Have we got lots of people phoning in?
Is that easy?
Okay, so all you have to do is call 0871-222. You don't think that's easy, Joe? Did you not get that one?
You know, I got it because I overheard you saying
so. Oh, okay, right. 0871-222-1049. If you knew what my mum was going on about just then, we'll have a winner for you after Graham Coxon. We've got a winner for you. Dave, are you there? Dave.
Well, afternoon, in fact.
How you doing?
Not so bad, not so bad.
So, Dave, talk us through your reasoning. What did you think my mum was talking about? Don't say what it was yet.
Well, I thought it was a very funny comedy that's on BBC Two.
Yeah.
Repeat, I think, on UK Gold as well at the moment. Very, very hideous looking lady, shall we say.
Well.
Not very nice.
Yeah, I guess she is in the show.
Is it Liam or Noel from Oasis, I believe?
Same sort of haircut.
Yeah, so a little shrine
to
him. And the guy is very, very camp, very over the top, I think.
You're such a tease, David. Come on, say it, say the name.
Oh, it's Gimme Gimme Gimme, of course.
Of course it is. Congratulations, Dave. That was pretty easy, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you like that show, David?
It's alright, it's alright.
It's alright.
I didn't watch a whole series.
And are you as sad as Adam's mum that it's cut? Has it come off?
Yeah, it's not on anymore, no. I'm sure it'll be repeated, but they're not making any new ones.
Oh, I can't wait.
Kathy Burke's a well-respected theatre director now.
Really?
I saw her on Frank Skinner the other day. She was quite sarky. She gave Frank Skinner quite a run for his money.
I can imagine that.
It was enjoyable to see.
And, Dave, are you excited about seeing The Grudge?
Very, very.
Does it matter to you that Sam Raimi, the director of Spider-Man, says it's one of the most frightening films I've ever seen?
That scares me, actually.
Yeah, he's the man that directs The Evil Dead.
I'm actually quite worried now.
Yeah, it's genuinely, genuinely frightening, this film.
Well, that's on its way to you. Dave, thanks so much for calling in. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, take care. And, Sam, Darkman was on last night. That's Sam Raimi as well, wasn't it?
That was the low point of his career.
Right, it's a very odd film.
It's an odd film, but it's still got moments of inspiredness-ity.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's about 9 sequels as well, aren't there?
Yeah, but none of them to do with Raimi, I don't think.
No, no. It's one of those films that started not so good and then just got worse and worse and worse throughout its sequels. They're very odd. Some of them look as if they were made in an afternoon in a shed. Mm. Anyway, this is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back after these. XFM. Franz Ferdinand with This Fire. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. On a drizzly Saturday afternoon.
And remember, you can text us on 83XFM, or you can email us, adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk, at any point about anything that you hear in this fascinating show. And all emails and texts are read by me.
Thanks very much indeed to James Mill, who is the first person to have sent in a school mag. I've been appealing sort of randomly for school mags. He sent in The Record. And what is the school that he goes to? And I'm just basically encouraged. I've been reading school mags recently and getting quite a lot of laughs out of them. And I just wanted to see other people's mags. So you can send them in to Adam and Joe, XFM, here's the address, have a pen and paper handy, number 30 Leicester Square, and the postcode is, WC2H7LA.
So, one of the great things about this school mag, that, what's his name, James?
James, yeah.
Sent in, thank you James, is that he's graffitied all over it, and this was obviously around the time of the first Harry Potter film, because he's put wizard hats on a lot of people, he's put lightning bolts on a lot of teachers' foreheads, and he's obsessed with any kind of pictorial anomaly that suggests genitals. So for instance, there's a rugby player, a photo of a rugby player, and the two strings from his rugby shorts are sort of flapping while he runs. These have been circled.
Yeah.
And a question mark next to them, as if he's got a willy that looks like a bit of string.
Yeah.
Which is funny stuff. He's also made broadcaster Nick Ross, who is the subject of a school magazine interview, into Hitler. And he's extended the arms on everyone in the school photo, quite amusingly. You know, I hope, James, you did this years ago and not specially for us. There's a picture of Mr. T in wide fronts over the under-14 rugby results. And so it goes on. the whole rugby team have been given dark glasses, every single one of them, and one a large Mexican hat. This is the kind of thing we're after, isn't it, Adam? Is this the kind of thing you were looking for?
Not really. I was more after the actual content of the mag.
Well, I haven't even got to the content of the mag, and already I'm hypnotized by the amazing graffiti ideas.
See, I was thinking once we had enough mags, then I was going to go through some of the best creative writing in there.
Okay, I can help you with that in a second.
Yeah.
But I should mention that the cricket first and second 11, there's a guy who's the corner of his jacket is sitting in his lap in a weird way, making it look like a sort of mysterious black blob in his crotch. This too has been circled and question marked.
Of course.
As if he's got a weird black...
And in a way, you have also circled and question marked it by mentioning it. So what's your creative writing?
Well, because Adam had mentioned school mags, I dug up some of my school mags, and I found a poem that I wrote in 1980, or maybe 1981, and it's called Fish.
Okay.
Have we got any good sort of poetry reading music to play under it? Can we go to a record and come back to Fish?
Let's see what we've got.
Because it's a good poem. It's all about fish.
You know what? We'll just use our old regression therapy music. Okay. How's that?
Okay, this is Fish by Joseph Cornish, class R1. Fish darts, swerves and cuts through its liquid home, blowing its pearls of life, its pearls of wisdom. Wide-eyed, it peers wearily through a noiseless barrier and darts on again. A rock blocks. It casually quivers past it, senseless of the obtrusion. Its glowing form reflects the water around it. Obtrusion?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means now, let alone when I was 10. Blah, blah, blah. A school swims with it, a silent gathering, with no purpose but to swim, senselessly, silently, silhouetted through the simmering sea, to go forward to whatever lies ahead. I'm going to skip a couple of verses.
How long is it?
Wait, it's very long, but here's the end. Basking in the sun, magnified by the flat lens of the water, then hooked by mouth, by hook, and killed, and eaten, and gone. Fish.
That's the end. Oh, yeah. That's devastating.
So it's a brilliantly, thank you, it's a brilliantly alliterative poem about a fish. And then it ends with a very powerful act of violence that makes one question our relationship with fish.
Yeah.
And our relationship with fish and chips and the idea of eating fish and is it cruel and how can you eat something so beautiful? I could similarly have written a song called... Oh, it should be a song, shouldn't it? A poem called Piggy.
Yeah.
Piggy, pink piggy, snorting, snuffling, searching for truffles.
If only they could fly, actually they will fry.
Yeah,
that kind
that's
of thing.
Good, that's good. And then at the end, bang,
let's
slice,
talk pork,
sizzle, bacon.
Yeah.
Dead.
Oh.
Then a pause, then. Piggy.
Wow.
At the end. So, I think people could send in their...
That's what I'm after, is the...
I like the
creative writing. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm really after, I must say. Although, there's lots of other interesting articles. But next week, I would really like to be in a position where I can read out some poetry from these mags. So please do send some more in. Once again, a reminder of the address to send stuff like that to is Adam and Joe, XFM, number 30, Leicester Square, WC2H7LA. Now, here's the first of our super free plays this week. Joe, this is one of yours, and you had it for Ditties in the Dock last week.
Yeah, this is my kind of failed Ditty in the Dock slot, and this is Crosby, Stills and Nash with Marrakesh Express. And before you play it, have you queued it up when the music starts, or for the funny little bit of talking?
Oh, I couldn't hear the talking, it's too quiet.
Can you turn it right up and have a listen to it, so we can try and figure out what they're saying?
Okay.
Because there's some very weird... is it Indian or maybe Moroccan being spoken at the beginning of this song? And I'd love to know what it means if anyone out there knows this song. Can you hear it? Can we play it?
It's de-queued itself now, hang on.
Oh dear, we're having technical problems.
Well, it was all lined up, it was ready to go.
I'm sorry.
Okay, here we go. Oh, hang on.
That was it, we could hear that nice and clearly. What's he saying there? Do you know what he's saying, listeners? Let us know. Here's the full song.
Hang on. Can't just spring these things on me. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Crosby, Stills and Nash.
That's the Marrakesh Express. Yeah.
Off they go.
CSN. Oh, it's a CSN, isn't it? No, what? No Neil Young at that stage.
No Neil Young, no. No Young.
So this is Adam and Joe here on XFM. And what was I going to say? Oh, it's gone out of my head. I was going to say, did you watch The Power of Nightmares?
No, but I know what you're talking about. The Power of Nightmares is a powerful BBC documentary about how politicians have used fear to subjugate us.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. Basically just saying that the terrorist threat, and particularly the idea of Al-Qaeda being this big organised evil network, is more or less a piece of fiction. You know, more or less, obviously, you can't ignore the fact they have actually done some atrocities. They've done some atrocities.
There was them buildings what went down on the telly.
Yeah, that right, yeah. Them atrocities. Shouldn't really be talking about it like that, but there you go. But it was an amazing watch, and I'm not going to talk too much about the documentary itself.
He's called Adam Curtis.
Adam
Curtis.
The
man who made it. He's a very famous documentarian.
But it was a weird experience watching it, because whether you agreed with it or not, it was one of those sort of very well-researched polemics that made you actually quite comforted at the end, because, you know, the central conceit was that maybe we shouldn't be quite so terrified and get on with our lives a little more, because some of these threats have been created to prop up not only the neoconservatives in America, you know, the Bushes of this world, but also the extreme Islamists as well.
Yeah.
They have their agendas, and this idea of the threat of terror props up their various agendas. And actually isn't quite as real as they would like us to believe it is.
Yeah, but that's kind of what Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, says as well. Have you seen that one, Adam?
Haven't seen it, no.
Yeah, well, it's basically the same thing. That's one of its messages.
Yeah.
I didn't see the Adam Curtis film, but it's a similar sort of message. But it's true to say that, I mean, when I was a kid, there was an IRA threat all the time. And all the time I've lived in London, there's always been the threat of some sort of explosion or bomb or something. And one or two little things have happened, but basically I've been able to go about my life playing video games, shopping, going to bars, pretty much uninterrupted.
Yeah, we should say, obviously, for the victims of those atrocities, they weren't little things, and occasionally terrible things do happen. But yeah, you can't make concessions to them to that degree.
And you're not a very fearful man. In fact, I remember while we were making the Adam and Joe show in Brixton, and there were riots going on around the office, I was a bit too frightened to come in to complete a toy movie, but you cycled in and were kind of poo-pooed me for being nervous about the riots.
I remember videoing them.
Yeah.
And thinking that I might be able to flog them to some TV channel, but I didn't get any good stuff. But I was going to say that the experience of watching it was comforting in that respect, you know what I mean? It was nice to be told finally to not worry about things a little more, to calm down about things rather than to be terrified, which is what most news and current affairs programs have been telling you over the last few years. So I was trying to think of other documentaries that it would be great to see in a similar vein, and I came up with Death, the Phantom Menace. And that basically would be a documentary about the idea that death is this kind of conspiracy that's been created by corporations just to keep the workforce turning over and make people consume a bit faster, because they think there's obviously a finite amount of time for them to buy things.
So what's the truth, that everyone is immortal?
No, obviously people do die from time to time, but the truth of death has been hugely exaggerated, and there's no real evidence
to prove
yeah, to prove that the truth has been covered up. The idea of death has been exaggerated. There's no real evidence to prove that anyone dies.
So what would be the truth? What would be the actual truth?
Well, you see, you don't say that in the doc. That's what it's like. See? So ask me a question. Cross-examine me.
Adam, I'm terrified of dying. I think it's going to be really frightening. And I'm just going to, just before I die, I'm going to know that I'm going to die. And I'm going to be panicking. I want to die.
Well, don't panic about it.
Why not?
Because it's a phantom menace. It's not a real thing to worry about.
Yes, but what if the extreme Christians are right and there really is heaven and hell? I touched myself on a couple of occasions and I might go to hell for it.
That's a different question, actually.
That's a different fear.
Yeah,
So what are you frightened of?
Me, I'm frightened of absolutely nothing. Nothing right. whatsoever. Another documentary I'd like to see is Fast Food, Fast Fun, Fast Fitness. And this is kind of the flip side.
Fast food.
Yeah. Yeah. This is about the fact that, you know, people, fruit and veg retailers mainly, have been spreading lies about the benefits of hamburgers, fries, and soft drinks and things like that, simply because they're afraid of the competition.
Yeah.
And actually, fast food is not only tasty, it's good for you, it makes you happy, which means that your average lifespan will be extended by up to 700% if you eat a great deal of fast food. Also, another doc I'd like to see is Smoke and Mirrors, Truth About Ciggies. And, you know, things in that vein, basically. I just want to see, even if they're not necessarily true, I just want to see them. See what I mean? Anyway, if you've got any ideas for docs you'd like to see, you can email us, adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk, isn't
it? That's correct.
That's right, yeah.
Or you can text us, 83XFM.
And of course, you can always just give us a call about anything. 0871 222 1049. We're going to be giving away that chopper bike, the Ed Harcourt chopper, in the next hour when we've got Crap Commentary Corner.
Yeah. Do you think Wycliffe has got any relatives on the South Coast, the singer Wycliffe?
Wycliffe, what, the Wycliffes of Dover?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably does. That's an interesting thought, yeah.
Fairground Attraction?
Yeah, that's weird, man. I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Sounds like her vocal. Who was that?
That was The Delays with Wanderlust. Very nice. And before that, you heard Kasabian with Processed Beats. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We're going to play a track shortly, and then after that, it's going to be competition time again here on the show, and a big prize to give away this
time. Yeah, in fact, the track we're going to play is linked to the prize we're going to play. It's a chopper bicycle, which we've been given to promote Ed Harcourt. Who's sort of doing 70s style music, right?
Well,
he's
got a track called Born in the 70s, what we're going to play.
So he's given us a chopper. We haven't actually seen this chopper, but we believe it's a state-of-the-art chopper.
Super chopper.
Super chopper.
It's not... Do they still make choppers? Yeah, they must still make choppers, unless this one's been saved.
It's not like a
retro
second-hand chopper.
It's not like Ed's.
It's a brand new shiny chopper.
Chopper.
And you can win it if you get the answer to our crap commentary competition right this week. It's an excerpt of the commentary from a very poor movie, and it's very poor commentary. If you know what movie it is, you can win that bike, and it's a tricky one, so you're going to have to listen hard, and you're going to have your IMDb maybe standing by on your desktop for all you internet radio quiz cheaters out there.
But first, here's the track that it's all about. It's Ed Harcourt. Good stuff, that's Ed Harcourt. Can't speak today, sorry about that. That's Born in the 70s. This is Adam and Joe on London's 104.9 XFM. It's competition time, and thanks to Ed Harcourt, we're giving away a chopper bike that to the person that can tell us, Joe, where this commentary is from.
Yes, once again, I've looked through my huge collection of bad DVDs, and I've recorded some snippets of the most dreadful commentary I could find, and this is from one of my personal favourite dreadful films. There's not a lot of clues in this, not a lot of obvious clues anyway. There are more clues in the second clip, I think, but see if you know who this is. If you do, call 0871-222-1049, 0871-222-1049. Remember, this is to win a chopper bicycle, a state-of-the-art chopper bicycle.
Ed Harcourt's chopper.
What film are these lunatic actresses and filmmakers talking about? Here we go.
Thanks for listening to us today.
What are we doing here? Exactly.
We're just gonna talk through this movie. They love this stuff. Actually, when did the movie come out? 3 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago, and it lasted about 2 days. Yay, Roger!
Listen, everybody. I directed this, though. Everyone.
Yeah, so give us the
review. What are we doing?
We're going to talk about the movie.
Wow.
Talk about the movie.
Sounds instructive. Yeah. So that is quite tough. Could be any film, really, couldn't it?
Do you know what it is, Adam?
Yes, I do, because I saw the writing on the label,
okay.
Unfortunately. Okay. I think I would have guessed it anyway. I do recognize one of those women in there, her helium voice, even though she wasn't on helium. I think the director was snorting helium from a balloon there, wasn't he?
They have helium balloons and they have fart cushions.
So
in
you,
the voiceover studio.
If you know what that film was and who those people were, 0871-222-1049. And we'll see if anyone can guess that, but we've got another clip which we'll play after this track from Spoon. Ah, it's fantastic. Spoon with Car Radio. If you haven't heard Spoon yet, I would advise you to go out and buy any of their stuff. It's all very, very good indeed. Adam and Joe on XFM, and we've got, we don't have any winners so far for Crap Commentary Corner. No one knew who those girls were on that clip or what the film was. It's tough, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, but we were gonna talk to somebody. Is Vince there?
Oh,
hello. Vince?
Hello,
Vince. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. And yourselves?
We're very well today. Who do you think that was, Vince?
I don't know why, but just the film Boat Trip came into my head.
Not a bad guess.
Does the film Boat Trip come into your head frequently?
I've not seen it, but I just remember the cover with that pretty blonde girl on it.
On the, riding a banana.
You got it, yeah.
Vince, anybody who calls this show and mentions Boat Trip has to come on the air, just because it means we can say Boat Trip. You should see Boat Trip, it is incredible. It's so deeply wrong, it's a guaranteed entertaining Saturday night rental.
Can we not give Vince some kind of prize for talking about Boat Trip?
Vince, do you want a copy of The Grudge on DVD?
I'd love a copy of The Grudge on DVD.
And then you can take it down the record and tape exchange and exchange it for a copy of Boat Trip.
Yeah,
do you promise you'll do that?
I promise you.
And do you promise you'll have a Boat Trip party?
I will have a Boat Trip party, yep, definitely.
Such a liar. Thanks for calling, Vince.
Yeah, thanks very much, Vince. But, it's tough. It's really, people are stumped out there. Should we give them another clue, Joe?
Yeah, but play them the second clip, but you've got to listen very carefully because they mention two of the Christian names of the actresses, and you should be able to deduce the movie. And if people still don't get it, we'll just have to give them a verbal clue. But here is clip number two in Crap Commentary Competition.
Hi, Cora. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, remember this day, Samo, with me.
Look at
Christine.
That made me laugh. Why do I... Oh, my God, I hate myself. Oh, never again. I'm only doing Merchant Ivory films after this if I can.
Uh-oh.
I hate myself. Oh, my God.
Not nearly as much as I hate you.
There we go. So did you pick up those two names in there?
Man, that was tougher than the first clip.
There were two of the actresses' Christian names were in there.
Well, she mentioned Christina.
Don't say them out loud.
Well, we got to get... That was impossible.
Play it again. There's two names of the actresses in there. Okay, we'll tell them what the other name is. It was Selma. Selma and Christina. With the power of the internet, that's an easy one to guess.
And it's
0871-222-1049.
It's not Frida Kahlo, in case you're wondering. Should we play it again? That was torture, though, that clip.
I like it.
The first one is more instructive, maybe. Isn't
Do you
it?
Think?
I don't know. Okay, let's play that again.
Hi, Cora. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, remember this day, Selma, with me.
Look at
Christine.
That made me laugh. Why do I... Oh, my God, I hate myself. Oh, never again. I'm only doing Merchant Ivory films after this if I can.
Uh-oh.
I hate myself. Oh, my God.
That's exhausting. I can't believe you sat through the whole thing.
Why would... You just wonder why they would release that, why they would put that on a DVD.
Because it's automatic now, isn't it? Everyone just gets asked to do a commentary and just turn up and
wrong.
Do it. Of course it's wrong, but the world's wrong.
And the film that's from is so wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Call 0871-222-1049 and you could win a chopper bike if you can identify the film that commentary was taken from.
We'll come back after a 90s classic now for the second hour and we'll see if we've got a winner for you. Here's Blur. That's amazing. Blur with Beetle Bum. Now, we want to pack a lot more into the show, so I'm sorry to, slice into the last few fabulous moments of that one. That was our 90s classic this week. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, and we've got some people who think they know the film that that commentary came from. Who have we got on line one, Joe?
I think Dennis is on line one. Dennis, are you there? Dennis, speak to us.
Dennis?
Dennis, bring air from your lungs and make word noises at us. Dennis?
Hello.
Is that Dennis now?
That's right.
Hey, Dennis, how are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Do you know what that crap commentary was from?
I don't know, but I'm hoping to.
Right. What's your guess? Say again?
Scary Movie 3.
Scary Movie 3. What makes you think that?
I don't know. Maybe that, or if I can have another guess.
No, you got to have some logic. You just can't go just randomly naming films.
That's it.
Scream 3.
No, Scary Movie 3.
Scary Movie 3. I'm sorry, Dennis, but you're wrong. We're going to have to fade you out. We're going to go to Joe on line 2. Hello, Joe.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. All well?
We're well. Thank you very much, if that's what you said. Or did you say all well?
The first.
Reference to George Orwell. What's your guess, Joe?
I'm going with Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, the movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah.
Is that a film you've seen, Joe?
Yeah, frequently.
Really? Is that, are you being genuine?
I've got two small children. I've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
That was my next question. That's a very, very good excuse. That's the only reason to see that film is if you've got children under 5. What a dreadful film. But you're wrong.
Good guess, though.
That's a very good guess. Well done, Joe. And we're going to go to, is that Gary or is it John Wayne Gacy? Gary? Gary. Hello, Gary. Are you there?
Gaz?
On one.
Gazza?
Gazza on one. The big G-Man. The big G-Man! He got it right as well!
The G-Monster. This always happens. Away.
Hello?
Hey, Gary, how you
there
doing?
There we go, yeah.
Gary, so we've kind of given the game away there because you disappeared. What do you think it is?
The sweetest thing.
Oh, yeah. Gary. How did you know? How could you tell?
I used to work at a cinema.
Did you? And so did you watch The Sweetest Thing more than once?
Not by choice.
Really? It is an extraordinary film, don't you think?
Extraordinarily bad.
Yeah, I think it's possibly the most enjoyably bad film that's been released, I think, in the last 6 or 7 years.
Starring who?
Starring Cameron Diaz, Selma Blair and Christina Applegate.
There you go, that was the Selma and the Christina mentioned in the clip there.
It's kind of a Ladette comedy, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, I guess so. I would more like to say it's crap, to be honest.
Yeah, but this is Crap Commentary Corner.
Well, yeah.
Gary, congratulations, though. You've won, and you've won the chopper bike.
Yay!
Yay!
Do you need a chopper bike, Gary?
Sure, why not, yeah.
Well, you know what, if you don't necessarily need it, search your soul, and maybe, Christmas coming up, give it to someone who does need it, a little kiddie.
Give it to a little kiddie.
Yeah,
or start dealing drugs.
Don't encourage Gary to deal drugs, because then when he gets arrested or deals
adults
them to my children...
Adults on bikes always deal drugs.
I'm going to find Gary around my neck of the woods, pushing drugs on my little son.
And it'll be your fault. Gary, congratulations. That's extremely well guessed, and thanks, you know, for trumpeting the qualities of The Sweetest Thing to a larger audience.
Thanks very much for your call, Gary. Adam and Joe on XFM, it's time for the streets, ladies and gentlemen. And this one is called Could Be Well In.
Because the last relationship's utter rot.
Very nice, that's Gene. Let me move on. You're listening to Adam and Joe on XFM. It's going to be time for Ditties in the Dock very shortly. But Joe, I just wanted to ask you a question. I know this is, like, quite retarded of me. Mm. Everyone else knows this, but I'm still a bit confused. And what chav means and where it came from. Do you know about where the word might have come from?
I don't know the root of the word. I know it's something to do with that pattern that you get on scarves, isn't it?
Well, they wear...
Burberry. They wear Burberry, right?
Yeah, but the word itself I don't think is related to that. I did some searching on the internet, but I've got some conflicting information here.
Yeah.
But basically, obviously... You know what a chav is?
Yeah, I do.
What to describe when someone says
well,
chav?
Well, it's a sort of a housing estate, so I guess the guy, Mike Skinner from the streets would be a bit of a chav, wouldn't he? It's kind of Adidas trainers, tracksuit bottoms, and then topped off with a little bit of designer Burberry stuff. It's just the contemporary equivalent of a casual, what we would call a casual.
Yeah.
Back when we were teens.
Casual!
Yeah.
Get your boy.
But you know what? I also think it's just one of these things that Sunday papers and out-of-touch people get really excited about because it suddenly gives them a bridge to the Ute, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose because it's a thing that crosses over and it's, you know, it's a word that's used by them as well as us, as
yeah.
it were.
Yeah, but it's probably not used by us, so to speak, anymore, is it? Is that usually the sort of thing that, that the newspapers catch on to when it's dead, basically?
I don't think it is dead. I think it's sort of getting going, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. Because it's just one of those words. Apparently, down here, it's got a list, as you say, for... Names have always been around for little groups of youths, who were, you know, who are quite fashion conscious and mouthy and sort of say to you, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
When you look in their direction,
yeah.
mistakenly.
I've got to say that the texts have come alight with people explaining what chav means. A chav is a kev.
Yeah, well, you
sure
see,
that really helps.
No, you see, I've got a big long list of what
Chatham in Kent.
Ah, you see, that's what some
that
people say. But then the person I found on the internet said, no, it's actually it originates from the Romany world for child, chavi, which
so it's a gypsy kid.
It's kind of come from. Yeah, gypsy, a bit like pikey, which is a very offensive
That's
term.
Very offensive, Adam.
Yeah.
It's offensive to me and my caravan-dwelling family.
Well, there you go, and chav apparently was a similarly offensive term, and then it's become, you know, it's crossed over a bit to mean...
I've never used it until today.
No, I never have as well, but I, you know, obviously I want to keep abreast. I'm just checking. I'm quite, you know, I'm getting old now, so I want to find out what the kids are saying. Scottish people, of course, call them Neds, apparently.
Hmm. What, called chavs Neds?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Really? Why not?
I don't think it's the same group of people.
How are Neds different to chavs?
A Ned is just a happy-go-lucky lad in Scotland. A Ned. Yeah, might hang around the
Young yobs.
Yeah, young
That's
yobs.
That's a chav.
Yeah.
Some people say that Ned is an acronym of non-educated delinquents.
Yeah.
But apparently it's just a abridged form of the name Edward.
This is what happens when you do research on the internet.
What?
You could just get all kinds of information.
Well,
this is the mistake people make about the internet, that it's not like some sort of a dictionary or
What do you mean the mistake?
This is
interesting.
It is interesting, definitely.
What are you saying? This is all wrong?
That it's very hard to go to the internet for the truth about something. All you get is a sort of misty cloud of random theories from a million people across the world, and that sometimes people approach it like a sort of... font of truth, you know, like a book.
Well, this is a consensus.
It's like a book that any old sod could write in the internet. Look at it that way.
Yeah.
A reference book that any old idiot can put an entry in.
Yeah, okay. But I've done a certain amount of research, and this is the consensus of opinions
it's
that
good.
I've
I'm
come
enjoying
up with
it.
Here.
Keep going.
No, I'm going to stop now, because it's just a book of rubbish. Okay. We'll be back with Ditties in the Dock after Nick Lowe. Fantastic, that's Nick Lowe with So It Goes. Lots of people texting us about chavs. Thank you for your texts.
We seem to have reached the conclusion that it is indeed a Romany word used by travelling folk.
From the word chavvy, for child.
But apparently it can also mean council...
council housed and violent.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
And just before we leave the chavs alone for this week, can I just quote the Daily Mail, who describes chav women... as pulling their shoddily dyed hair back in an ultra-tight bun known as a council house facelift.
Yeah.
Croydon facelift.
That's an oldie,
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
They wear skirts too short for their mottled blue thighs and expose too much of their distressingly flabby midriffs.
Midriff.
Ah, well, Daily Mail, there you go. Okay, let's speed through this now. Coming up to the last quarter of an hour of the show here on XFM with Adam and Joe. It's Ditties in the Dock. Joe and I are going to battle it out for who gets to play the last song of our 2 hours. Joe, what have you got?
I've got a track by the Fonboy Thrush, The Way That You Do It.
Ooh.
On account of the fact that I had a very nice chat to Terry Hall on Tuesday night at the Guilty Pleasures Night at the Islington Academy Bar or whatever it was. And what a lovely fellow he was.
Yeah, because, you know, he suffers from depression. Was he okay that night?
Yes, he was.
He was well medicated.
Yeah,
good, good, good.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
well, it's fairly well known.
He was in a great mood, and he's a great guy. And we had a long talk about Nick Haywood because he still hangs out with Nick Haywood.
Does he
and
really?
Stuff. Yeah, And so here's, you know, something, not that he needs it, but in case he needs an extra 20p royalties, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it by Funboy 3. A great track, anyway.
Yeah, man, he's still got it, definitely. No question.
Yeah.
Well, that's a smash and hard to compete with, but I'm going to try, because I've got Einstein A Go-Go by Landscape. Mm. So we've both unwittingly come in with sort of early 80s classics. And Einstein A Go-Go, if you've never heard it before, Landscape were a very weird band. They had an album called From the Tea Rooms of Not... Can you not whistle during my presentation,
I'm helping
please?
It by whistling the tune. Whistling the tune.
Whistling. And yeah, the Tea Rooms of Mars to the Hell Holes of Uranus was their album. You get it? Crazy. And it was a really, really weird, sort of very early, abrasive electronic album. But they kind of managed to cross over with some really poppy tunes occasionally. Einstein A Go-Go was their biggest hit. The follow-up was Norman Bates. Do you remember that one, Joe?
Yeah.
Which was really weird.
My name is Norman Bates. I'm just a normal guy.
Won't be playing that one.
Ordinary guy, isn't it?
Normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brilliant song. If you've never heard it, Einstein A Go-Go. It's demented and it sounds very current as well today because of sort of the electro clash, or whatever you want to call it, which I know happened 2 years ago.
So there we go. This is In The Dock. It is Funboy 3 with It Ain't What You Do, It's The Way That You Do It versus Einstein A Go-Go by, what are they called?
Landscape.
So let's say Landscape or Funboy. Those are your keywords. 871-222-1049. The winning song gets to play out the show. Plus, the winning phone vote is going to win a very special DVD that I've actually lost.
What is it?
I know, here it is. It's some sort of interactive DVD music quiz. It's a DVD you put into your DVD player. It's called Beat the Intro. You hear the beginning of a bit of music.
A DVD you put into your DVD player?
Yeah, one of those ones.
Wow.
And so it's a great sort of quiz DVD. So the winning vote, you know, you can't actually decide to be the winning vote, but if you are the winning vote, you win. 0871-222-1049, Funboy or Einstein.
But first, here's Green Day.
Yeah, that serves you right for listening. Oh, this is Adam and Joe, XFM Line, and this is Ditties in the Dock.
That was Green Day, incidentally, with Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Now, let's see, Ditties in the Dock, we're going to take the best of five callers, and the choice, as you remember, is between Landscape, Einstein A Go-Go, and Funboy 3, Ain't What You Do, It's The Way That You Do It.
We've got on line one, Vern. Hello, Vern, are you there?
Yes, hello.
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Goody. And what are you voting for, Vern?
Einstein A Go-Go.
Nice.
That's a good choice. That's one for Einstein. Let's go to line two with Emily. Hello, Emily.
Hiya.
How are you?
All right, thanks.
Having a nice Saturday?
Wonderful, thank you.
Good. What are you voting for?
For Funboy, please.
For Funboy? That makes it one all. Wow. Track three, Richard. Are you there?
Yep, hi there.
Hello, Richard.
Landscape, actually.
Landscape, Richard.
Do you remember Landscape first time round, Richard?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember both of these tracks, but my preference is Landscape on this occasion.
Can you sing us a line from Einstein A Go-Go?
Shall I whistle the sort of little intro?
Yeah, Joe was whistling it before, but I rudely cut him off. Go on.
That's the fella.
Fantastic.
So that's 2-1 to Landslide. Jazz, if Jazz votes for Landslide, then Landslide
Landscape.
It is.
Landscape.
Escape, sorry. Landslide is an Olivia Newton-John song, isn't it?
I don't know.
I know. Jazz, what are you voting for? Hello, Jazz, are you there?
Hello, Jazz.
Jazz is listening
jazz
to some
man.
Jazz.
He's going to Spaceman.
It's Jazz Man. Taking a break from recording Jazz's new album.
Jason, perhaps?
Hello. Jason? Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sorry, somebody wrote down Jazz, and your name isn't Jazz, is it?
Short for Jazz, yeah.
Maybe
from now on, you're going to be called Jazz.
All right, then.
So, Jazz, what are you voting for?
Funboy 3.
Funboy 3, so that's two
no.
all.
Sorry. Thanks very much for your call, Jason.
It's neck and neck.
Now, here's the decider. Who is this, Joe?
Well, this caller has automatically won Beat the Intro, the exciting quiz DVD thing. He's called Ben. Are you there, Ben?
I am.
How are you, Ben?
I'm fantastic, thanks, guys. How are you?
We're both very well as well. Thank you very much. Are you excited that you've won Beat the Intro?
I am very excited.
Have you got a DVD player?
Yes, I do.
Wow. very modern. Because they're expensive, aren't they? And
yeah.
So what are you voting for?
I'm going to have to vote for Funboy.
Oh, Ben!
Ben!
Well done, you, sir.
You freak of nature. I'm going to bring in Landscape next
week.
Yeah,
that's the great thing about our new free plays. We can have the sort of, it sort of renders Ditties in the Dock sort of slightly irrelevant. But that's not a thing to say just as we announce the winner and play it. So there we go, it's a 3-2 victory to Terry Hall and the Funboy 3. We've been Adam and Joe. Thanks for listening for the past 2 hours. We'll be back with you next week, 1 till 3, with all sorts of maybe slightly better prepared funny things next week. Who knows?
Who was unprepared?
Me.
Okay. Well, don't tarnish me with your brush.
I'm sorry.
You say... Anyway. Thanks very much for listening. Lots of love. Bye. Here's the Funboy 3. Don't